And welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live in Las Vegas and live in Palm Springs, 98.1 FM in the Coachella Valley. And we're getting our next guest on the line, so he'll be with us shortly. So I have a little bit more time to go over the rules for radicals, Saul Alinsky's guide on how to overthrow capitalism to institute a socialized state in this country. And the reason I'm doing this is to give you an understanding of why the knives are out against everybody besides Trump, his whole entire cabinet. Because there's a few things that the Democrats hate. Okay? They hate capitalism. They hate freedom and liberty. They obviously don't like the spirit of the American individual. Because all of these rules that I'm sharing with you has everything to do with growing the state. So the state is the best, like I said, law and order are two things that the Democrats don't like either. Because chaos, when you sow chaos, that is the seed by which you're able to create the state. Never let a crisis go to waste, right? So we're going to go through the next rule. So rule number three was, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. So they're using these tactics to create a lot of confusion. You know, Russia. The Russians did it. Do we got Nick on line five?
Yes.
Okay, good timing. Nick, are you there? Okay, we're having a couple difficulties getting a hold of Nick. So let's go to number four. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey all of their own rules. This is a serious rule. The besieged entity's very credibility and reputation is at stake, because if activists catch a lie or not living up to its commitments, they can continue to chip away at the damage. So this is an all-out assault. It's like a shotgun method. What are they going to blame next? How many judges are going to be used against the Trump administration? How many lawsuits can they file? Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. So they're going to try to, you know, we wanted to have Hillary Clinton prosecuted. And now they're saying, well, what about Mike Pence's private email? It's not about a private email address. It's about a private email server. And when the Democrats can come up with Mike Pence shredding and destroying 30,000 documents that were originally part of our, that should have been part of our national archives, let me know. When Mike Pence, if they find Pence had his own server, then I'll demand that he be investigated. But a private email and a private server are totally two different things. So Hillary Clinton shreds all of the evidence. She destroys 30,000 emails. We know that her server was hacked no less than by five foreign entities. And yet they're pointing the fingers at everybody else and trying to blame everybody else for exactly what Hillary Clinton did. Rule number five. Ridicule is a man's most potent weapon. And this is where Donald Trump really excels. And this is why I like him. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. So ridicule. And you see this a lot in social media. And you see this a lot with, for example, when Kellyanne Conway was kneeling on the couch to take pictures, there was a Democrat congressman, and his name escapes me, but he said, that position looks familiar. So disgusting. But Donald Trump uses ridicule in a very effective way, and that's one of the reasons why I knew he could win, is because he ridiculed the left and made them feel much smaller than they wanted to feel. And we finally got Nick Adams on the phone. I'm very excited to have Nick, and we'll get back to the rest of the rules after our interview. He is the founder and executive director of FLAG, which is flagusa.com. Hi, Nick. It's Megan.
G'day, Megan Barth. How are you, ma'am? Great to be speaking with you.
It is so good to speak to you, too. You know, when I ran into you at CPAC with John Rogitz, I was like, oh, my gosh, I love your accent. And you immediately says, well, you have one, too.
Well, that's exactly right, Megan Barth. Yours, though, is far more seductive than mine.
Well, that might be true. So tell our audience here in Nevada and in California, and we also have a huge reach countrywide, online. Tell us what flagusa.com is and tell us why you founded it.
Well, the very first thing I've got to tell you, Megan Barth, is that it's flagusa.org.
Oh, I'm sorry, flagusa.org. I have a typo here.
Not a problem. Flagusa.org. And FLAG is the foundation for liberty and American greatness. And we are the world's organized fighting force pushing back against anti-Americanism. So we are all about making the case for America and making sure that the next generation of Americans are patriotic and love their country.
That, now, why is it at a and don't take this wrong, but you're from, is it Australia? Is that right?
Well, now I'm an American. Yes, but yes. I was born in Australia and moved here, became a legal immigrant to the United States. It took me a long time, Megan. It cost me a lot of money, but I am finally here in America and absolutely loving it. And sometimes it takes someone on the outside to remind you what you like on the inside. Sometimes a spectator sees more of the game. And I think that the rest of the world is too far gone. And I think a lot of the reasons for why the world is too far gone are starting to be seen here in the United States. And the last thing I want is for the world's exceptional nation to go down the path of Europe. So I decided that I had to set up an organized group, a fighting force, pushing back against those that would seek to diminish America's influence in the world and constantly apologize for the United States.
When did you start flagusa.org?
A FLAG began, Megan, in July of last year. So we're only a young organization. We've only been around for 7 or 8 months, and we are already doing amazing things. We've trained more than 4,000 students across 35 different schools in about 8 or 9 different states. We go into elementary, middle, and high schools, and we talk to kids about what makes America special, what makes America different, why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, what the world would look like without the United States of America today had it not been for American leadership in the 20th century. We talk about what America has given the world and why it's been an unparalleled force for good in this world. So we're really about countering the army of anti-American activists that are masquerading as teachers in our public school system.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised you're let in.
Well, you know, it's a good point and a fair question, Megan. You know, when I began this, everyone said to me, Nick, this is the greatest idea ever, but there's no way in the world that you're ever going to get into a school. I'm proud to say that we are 35-0. We haven't been turned down yet. There have been a couple of very minor incidents of pushback from a teacher or a student. But aside from that, we haven't been formally denied entry into any school. And why should we be? I mean, I know that the public school system has really become the church of the left, but really when we're going in there providing an optimistic, inspirational, motivational, uplifting message about America, we tell those kids that whatever kids we're talking to, elementary, middle, high school, even college-age students, and we tell them that the day that they were born in the United States of America is the day that they won the lottery of life.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to have to take just a short break. Can you stay with me for another segment since we were started late, or do you have to run?
I mean, unfortunately, I can't, but let's do this again sometime.
I will. So let's direct people again. It's flagusa.org. I'm talking to Nick Adams. He's the founder and executive director. He's a great American, and he's helping our youth understand the exceptionalism of this country. And, Nick, I can't thank you enough for your work, and I will get you back on the air, and we'll do a full segment.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much for being a voice for so many, Megan.
Oh, you're welcome, and you as well. That was just too short for me. So we're going to have Nick Adams back when we can have him back. But we have to take a break right now. We're going to keep the lights on. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live from Las Vegas, 98.1 FM, Palm Springs. So that was, I have to say, Nick Adams, and I'm going to get him back on hopefully next week. We had to unfortunately take a hard break, but flagusa.org, I encourage you to go to it. He's doing great things around the country, 4,000 students, 8 to 9 states, and he's only started this company or foundation 7 to 8 months ago. So these are the type of people that give me hope, especially the ones that reach out to the youth in order to teach them about American exceptionalism. Because as we saw in the last 8 years, Obama was giving an apology tour. And most kids now are taught, as we see the Bernie Sanders acolytes, that America is the imperialist nation. So to have someone like Nick that actually didn't grow up here, he understands how exceptional our country is. And our country is exceptional because why does everyone want to come here? Right? If it was so bad, you would think we would have a mass exodus. Everyone would self-deport. You don't see everyone trying to, you know, break down to get into Mexico or you know, breaking the down to get into Honduras or San Salvador. So we got two more points, and then we're going to go to some cuts. Because you're going to understand now, right, when you're hearing the chirping and the insults coming from the left and the tactics coming from the left, you understand why they are employing these tactics, because this is who they are. This is how they were trained. So we've got rule number five, which was ridicule, which I said Donald Trump is an excellent player in this game, because that Chuck Schumer tweet this morning, where he's pictured with Vladimir Putin and he wants to open up an investigation into Chuck Schumer. And I absolutely love that one. And that's why Twitter, you know, Twitter, I love that Donald Trump uses Twitter. Because it's raw, it is viral, he doesn't have to go through the bias of the mainstream media, and he puts people on their toes and backs them into a corner. And then they got to come out fighting. Let's see what they got. So rule number six is a good tactic is one your people enjoy. So let's look at what the Democrats enjoy. They enjoy chaos. They enjoy ridicule. They enjoy using power against their political enemies. They enjoy disparaging conservative women. Like I just told you about the congressman who, when Kellyanne Conway was on her knees taking a picture in the Oval Office, the congressman said, oh, that looks like a familiar position, or something to that effect. And so they use this violence, whether it's in language or an action. You know, I was telling Karl Marx, the psychologist that called in earlier, why is it that you find communists attracted to the Democrat Party? Why is it that you find Marxists like Luis Gutierrez in the Democrat Party? Why is it you find community organizers trained under the rules of Saul Alinsky in the Democrat Party? Marxists. Why is it that Barack Obama was raised by a communist named Frank Marshall Davis? And he found the Democrat Party. Why is it that anarchists are being paid and violent protesters are being paid? Remember, it was the DNC that paid violent protesters to go to Chicago and they shut down his event. And cops and people were hurt. That was funded by the DNC. I'm waiting. I'd love to see. If the Democrats want to play this game using the shotgun method with lawsuits and with accusations, baseless accusations of espionage against Jeff Sessions and people within the Trump administration as double agents for Putin, you know what I'd really enjoy? I'd really enjoy watching Donald Trump reopen the investigation into Hillary Clinton. I'd really enjoy watching investigations opened in, or the persecution of, the Clinton Foundation and that whole entire family based on RICO laws, the quid pro quo arrangement that Clinton Cash, Peter Schweitzer, put out. I'd really enjoy to have a voter investigation, or excuse me, voter fraud investigation. And that's forthcoming because that's been promised. And that is why Jeff Sessions is their primary target right now, because he is the law and order, the chief of law and order. He's the DOJ. He's the AG. And they don't want voter fraud investigations. What are they afraid of? Why are they so afraid of just a simple investigation? Look, an investigation could turn up absolutely nothing. So why not? Why not just have an investigation? I'd really enjoy that. And I know Trump supporters would enjoy that. And it's going to be forthcoming. Rule number 7, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. So this is why they're employing a lot of different tactics. The news keeps changing. The boogeyman keeps changing. It's Trump. It's Sessions. It's Flynn. It's Pence. It's Gorsuch. And so they need to keep the chaos. They need to keep the confusion. And without the help of the press lying on their behalf, they wouldn't stand a chance. Rule number 8, last rule. Keep the pressure on, never let up. Keep the pressure on, never let up. So if you think for 1 minute that they're going to get quiet, Do you think for 1 minute that in the next 4 years, especially with Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and the communist Iranian Valerie Jarrett taking up space right down the block with a wall built around their $5 million manse, do you think that's just going to be used as a retirement home? No. That's Coup Central. C-O-U-P, Central. They are going to, along with the likes of George Soros, along with the powerful like John Podesta, along with David French, along with Media Matters, and all of the progressive organizations, are waging an all-out war on this administration. And they are going to keep the pressure, and they are not going to let up. They are going to use the immigration advocacy groups, mostly funded by George Soros. Like here in Nevada, it's called Plan Nevada. They blocked me on Twitter. They don't like me too much. Jeez, I wonder why. They're going to use those advocacy groups. They're going to use the judges. You know, there was a specific reason that they filed in Seattle, in Washington State, because they'd have the Ninth Circuit. And the Fourth Circuit isn't too much better, according to Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. So let's go to, so that's Alinsky. Okay, so you've got it. That's Cloward Piven, classic Alinsky. So you understand why there's all of this BS flying around with the help of the mainstream media. But you look at how Trump is handling it. He's somewhat ignoring it. He's getting on with the business of the American people. You saw him down at a charter school today talking about the importance of choice in education. Why is it that the Democrats, the progressives, only like choice when it comes to having an abortion? Right? But they never want choice when it comes to education. I thought they were all about choice. Pro-choice. I'm pro-choice. Well, how about being pro-choice in education? How about giving the parents and the students a choice of where they'd like to go to school and then create competition in that zip code? Why should kids and parents have to be forced to go to a failing school because of their address? They shouldn't. And there is no greater threat to the teachers' union than school choice, because then they can't have the permanent tenure and they can't protect the mediocrity. And do you know, Karl Marx, if you're still listening, that a socialist by the name, I think her Karen, what the heck is her name? Karen. She is the leader of the Chicago's teachers union. She looks like an overgrown thumb. She needs to lay off the donuts, maybe take a walk around the block a couple times, burn some calories, instead of always creating chaos in the streets by keeping the students stupid in the failing public school system. That's what union leaders do. They want to make sure that all of their worker bees, especially in the teachers' union, you know, the teachers can't get fired. They have automatic tenure after two years. And then if they do screw up, like let's say they sexually assault a child or they're caught, you know, with a child, then they're put in a rubber room and we still have to pay their salary. They're never fired. Very hard to fire a tenured teacher. Believe me. And if you want some facts, just Google, okay? I don't have to come up with all the facts. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. That music means we got to take a break, and we'll be right back. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, Las Vegas and Palm Springs. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Live out of Las Vegas and live at 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. So my domain is ReaganBabe.com. ReaganBabe.com. My ReaganBaby.com domain got hijacked. More on that when I can talk about that. But you can reach me at Twitter. Get a hold of me, Reagan_baby, or at my Facebook fan page, ReaganBaby. You can also call toll free, 844-WAR-NOW-1. That's 844-927-6691. Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist warrior that he is, will be back in this seat Monday. He's excited to get back. He's going to have a lot to share with y'all from his trip to Hong Kong and the Middle East. He was gone for 2 weeks, so hopefully he'll be awake by Monday with the jet lag. So he'll be back here from 3 to 6, and then I always join him on Tuesdays and Thursdays there on out. So let's go to what's going on with Jeff Sessions. And so now that I've prepared you for all of the chaos that the Democrats create and the tactics by which they use to employ the chaos and create chaos, and we know that they're lying through their teeth because we know that Claire McCaskill lied about meeting with the Russian ambassadors. We know that Pelosi lied that she never met the Russian ambassador. We do know that the same Russian ambassador went to the White House 26 times to visit Barack Obama. We also know that there were 30 meetings with the Russian ambassador and various other Russian leaders that took place for the Iran deal. So we got 26 meetings at the White House. We got 30 meetings to do the Iranian deal, which was done in the secrecy and under clandestine conditions. Resulting in a plane flying in the middle of the night with unmarked cash. Now, you have to understand something about that ransom that we paid for hostages, which we've never done before either. So outside of the Iran deal, which flushed Iran with plenty and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of cash, we sent what they called sterile or clean cash. Now, I didn't know at the time, I think it was called sterile cash. I didn't really know what that meant at the time, so I Googled it. And basically, it's a CIA term for cash that can't be traceable. Now, why would they clean the cash? Wouldn't we want to know where that cash was going? Like, perhaps to, the funding of terror? So we'll never know. We'll never know. And so this whole Russian canard has been blown way, way out of proportion. So why did Jeff Sessions recuse himself? Well, let's hear it from his own mouth, shall we? That is cut six, is it? No, I don't think so. I'm sorry. Yes, cut six. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong page. Cut six. Thank God I got Charlie G here.
And the reason I believed I should recuse myself is because I was involved in the campaign. To a degree, I think it would have been perceived is that I wouldn't be objective in participating in an investigation right. that might involve the campaign. I do not confirm or deny any investigation. I just felt like I should clear the air, and we're moving toward that end even before this latest flap.
So does your recusal extend to, say, an investigation into the leaks that led to the departure of General Flynn?
These things have to be decided on a case-by-case basis. Anytime anything comes up connected to the campaign, I would be recused because I've made that clear. If something else comes up that's not related to the campaign, we would go through the same process. Is I committed to the Senate, and that I have done, and that is to see if there's a reason I should not be involved in the case.
Right.
So I think I've performed exactly correctly for an Attorney General of the United States.
Well, he did. He did vote correctly. He did vote correctly and did make the correct decision as the Attorney General of the United States. Why? Because he has ethics and integrity, unlike Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch. Remember, Loretta Lynch was the one that met with Bill Clinton, our former president, who got caught with an intern, as well as many other women. She met with him while her wife was under federal investigation, FBI investigation, and she met him on a tarmac. And remember, we weren't supposed to know about that either. It just so happened that a local camera, a person, I think it was a reporter with a camera, caught the meeting on the tarmac. And Chuck Schumer comes out yesterday and says, the Department of the Department of Justice should be about, you know, beyond reproach. Really? What do you call what Loretta Lynch and Bill did? They talked about grandkids for 30 minutes. I'm sorry, I don't have grandkids, but I know a lot of people that do have grandkids. They don't talk. They don't sit there on 118 degree tarmac in the middle of Arizona talking about their grandkids. And oh, by the way, doesn't Bill Clinton golf? Why is he going to Arizona in the middle of summer to golf when he could golf anywhere? It's 120 in the shade. What, do you want a discount? His billions of dollars of fortunes from shakedowns of countries, you know, here and there, what isn't enough? He'd golf anywhere in the world. What a bunch of liars. Absolute pack of liars. So, Jeff Sessions, why he recused himself? Because he has integrity and honor and decency. You won't find that either, Carl, in the Democrat Party. We're going to go to cut seven. This is going to be, was there? Here is the huge question that no one has the evidence to, but the press and the Democrats are running like this is fact. There was definitely Russian influence in this election. Absolutely, 100%. We know it. But don't tell us there's voter fraud. But we know that there's 100% Russian influence in this election. Let's go to cut seven.
I never had any conversations about, with the Russians about this campaign and putting them assisting in the campaign or anything like that. I went out and spoke and I campaigned for Trump, but I was not involved in anything like that, you can be sure.
But did the campaign, I guess my question is, did the campaign believe that the Russian government, the Putin government, favored Trump over Clinton in this
race? I have never been told that. I've never been told that.
Do you think they did?
I don't have any idea, Tucker. You'd have to ask them.
Right. Do you think, I mean, the core allegation here from Democrats and some Republicans on the Hill have suggested that they don't think it's a crazy idea, that the Russian government influenced the outcome of this election. Do you think that that's true?
I think the evidence is, people are bringing forth evidence and there are congressional committees that are investigating that. And I believe the truth will come out. It usually does.
That's right. Absolutely right, Attorney General Sessions. The truth always comes out. And so the truth, you know who I think influenced the elections, at least in this state? Illegal immigrants. You know who else I think influenced elections in certain states? Was not only illegal immigrants, it was the coalition of the unions that were registering, falsely registering voters. Agents of the Democrat Party. So once we get Putin out of the way and Donald Trump gets down to business, we're going to find out really who influenced some elections. Because no one is going to tell me that this state is blue. I look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie. And the truth always comes out. And we'll get back to the truth after this break. 790, talk now, talk that rocks. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. You can call toll-free 844-927-6691, 844-WAR-NOW-1. And that'll help you out if you're in Palm Springs at 98.1 FM, because I know you guys have high taxes out there. So call free if you'd like. But I gotta take you to this piece. I was between two pieces that I wanted to share with you. But I shared one yesterday, so I'm going to leave that on the back burner. I'm going to share a new piece with you today because it ties into the Chuck Schumer, the DOJ should be beyond reproach. And the DOJ was turned into not the Department of Justice. It was no longer the Department of Blind Justice. It was turned into the Department of Social Justice. And I follow this kid on Twitter by the name of Nick Short, and he does politicallyshort.com, and he does always excellent exposés and just really good work that the journalists refuse to do. And the title of his piece dated March 2nd, so a couple days ago. It's called The Obama Regime's Criminal Syndicate. Check this out. So while the Democrats are talking about Putin and creating all of the diversion and the distraction, it's because they don't want to point the finger at themselves. They want no accountability. They want to shield themselves from the truth. But what was going on at the DOJ under Obama was a massive crime syndicate, which was in the business of shaking down financial institutions to the billions, tens of billions of dollars. In a report released on Thursday, which was last Thursday, by the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, so these guys aren't chumps, detailing how the DOJ has essentially become a massive crime syndicate in the business of shaking down financial institutions, the report noted that the DOJ's housing settlements removed millions of dollars of third-party payments from the congressional appropriations process as well as judicial review. Of the settlement funds set aside for consumer relief, at least $640 million was set aside for third-party payments to be dispersed by the banks according to the settlement terms. By routing funds away from the U.S. Treasury, the settlements have been able to circumvent Congress's spending authority as well as oversight, meaning the DOJ unilaterally controlled the allocation of billions of dollars absent congressional and judicial involvement by forcing banks under the terms of the settlement agreements to distribute hundreds of millions of funds to third-party organizations pre-approved by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Moreover, the DOJ did not require third-party disbursements to go to homeowners actually aggrieved by the alleged wrongdoing. Of the $36.65 billion in total settlements reached by the DOJ with three separate financial institutions alone, the DOJ earmarked $13.5 billion for consumer relief, of which hundreds of millions are to be dispersed to selected third-party groups approved by the administration. Naturally, the third-party organizations are all politically active, radical, leftist groups. Here we go. Here are the groups. It's all the same players. Among the radical leftist groups pre-approved by the settlement agreements to directly receive funds from the banks is none other than the National Council of La Raza, which bills itself as the nation's largest Hispanic activist organization. Yet a brief history lesson on the reality of La Raza, which literally, La Raza, translate to mean the race, shows us that the group has been connected to the Chicano student movement of Aztlan Mecha. Now, I've talked about Mecha before. Mecha is a nationalist group, a Hispanic group, a Chicano Marxist organization that starts even in elementary schools and has a basically kind of like a fraternity network all throughout colleges. And if you go to the Mecha website, if you Google Mecha and go to their website, they are Mexican nationalists who believe that the West and the Southwest was illegally stolen or taken from them. And these kids and college students are raised to hate this country. I'm not lying. It's not a conspiracy. And when you look at the seated senators from California and the seated assemblymen, like the new AG of California that was handpicked, Garcia, I think it is. And when you look at Avila, the Secretary of State, etc., they all are from Mecha. The Mecha movement is an extremist Mexican race hate group which firmly believes in exploiting illegal immigration to bring about the La Reconquista, which means a violent overthrow of the southern U.S. states that would be absorbed into Greater Mexico. It should come as no surprise that La Raza is favored under these settlement agreements, given that the racist organization supports the Democrat cause of open borders, while Cecilia Munoz, a La Raza senior vice president, also serves on the White House Domestic Policy Council. So after the DOJ shakes down, let's see, who are the, oh, it's JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Bank of America, to the tune of billions, $36.5 billion, in order to go around Congress, they forced the banks into settlement agreements by which then the banks have to basically directly kind of deposit millions of dollars into La Raza. It's absolutely disgusting. The DOJ has used, it goes on, the DOJ has used this windfall in an unprecedented manner to operate outside of congressional review. For instance, according to statistics compiled from a 2016 GAO report, the 3% fund in 2009 had collected over $83 million, while in 2014 that number had increased sixfold to over $525 million. Moreover, the DOJ's current intake of $575 million from only three settlements exceeds expectations from the funds by 50. So this whole entire shakedown by the DOJ, somehow Chuck Schumer, it's funny, Chuck Schumer doesn't want to talk about that, does he? Nancy Pelosi, no, not so much. So these are the types of criminals that are in the Democrat Party. And they want to politically assassinate and assassinate the character of someone like Jeff Sessions, who actually didn't have to recuse himself, but did. I say open up an investigation again. Open up an investigation into this type of shakedown. They want to play ball? Let's hit it out of the park. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBaby.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. We're going to be right back with Niger Innes. I can't wait. One of my favorite and local people here. Stay tuned.